I want to share with us today what I've captioned, uproot that weed and grow. Uproot that weed. Come and say it with me. Uproot that weed. Oh my God. Where are the people? Is there life in this place today? Come on, uproot that weed and grow. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor. Tell that neighbor as if you are angry with them. Uproot that weed and grow. That's right. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Walk at living in peace with everyone. So live in peace with people takes a lot of work. Amen. And walk at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Look after each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm your responsibility. And you are my responsibility. That is to say, everything, everyone you are interacting with, make sure that they are growing in grace. Amen. He says, look after each other. Look after each other. So that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness, we've talked about it before, grows up to trouble you. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Not only will it trouble you, it's going to disturb other people. Listen, the only area of your life that you'll experience victory is the area where you are intentional. If you are intentional about anything, that's the area you are going to win in. Until you are intentional about spiritual growth, you will not grow. You have to make up your mind about it. You have to give it effort. Hallelujah. The word of God creates. We are entering into fall. Leaves are going to be, the trees are going to be shedding leaves. And then we enter into another season. And then they're going to begin to bud. The word of God needs to create new life within you and me. That's the work of the word of God. If you are intentional about study, if you are intentional about prayer, the word of God will create new life within you. My question to you is, have you bothered to ask yourself, if the word of God is not creating new life in you, have you asked yourself why? Why am I not growing? Pastor has preached. People have laid hands on me. I have fasted. I have prayed. Many times we pray erroneous prayer. We pray amiss. But that's not my point right now. Every one of us, we are all emotional beings. Some of us are more of a bag of emotions than the others. Amen. The emotions you deliberately cultivate will determine what you allow to grow or die within you. I'll say it again. The emotions you are intentional about is the emotion that will grow or die within you. I believe every one of us, we want all that God has on offer for us. And believe me, God has great things on offer. Great things. Wonderful things. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. The thought of good and not of evil, for you to have a hope and an expected end. But listen, if you are not intentional about intimacy with God, intimacy in relationship with Him, you will come short. How do you come short? You will receive the common things, the common blessings that God has made available for everyone. But the choice blessings, they will elude you. You miss it. The ones that God has made available to His beloved, they can't come to you if you are not having intimate relationship with the Lord. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, in the Amplified Version, the same scripture we just read. It says, see to it that you do not fall short. You don't fall short of God's grace. See to it. Become intentional about it that you are not going to miss out. Because when you miss out of the grace of God, like I was saying to the workers this morning, with God there is no vacuum. There is no vacuum. If God is not filling it, something else will fill it. If the grace of God is not filling it, resentment will fill it. Bitterness will fill it. Hallelujah. And he says it can spring up and cause trouble. And by it many have been defiled. Hallelujah. If you are not growing in the grace of God, you are growing in something else. Amen. Something else that can affect your life negatively. That can affect the people around you, the people you hang out with negatively. Amen. One of the emotions that we may not realize that is developing within us when we are not growing in the grace of God is bitterness. Bitterness is like a snake. It crawls deep down. It's underlying. It's burrowed deep in the heart. You might not even know it's there. Because if I ask anybody here now, if I ask you, are you bitter? Your likely answer will be no. I'm not. But if I follow you around for a whole day, and I'm recording all your activities, and we sit down the following day, and I begin to point out evidences of bitterness, before you realize it. That's why David said, Lord, search me. I'm naked before you. Search me out. Expose anything that is contrary to your will in my life. Bitterness is an underlying poison. Poison that can grow unnoticed until it raises its ugly head. Amen. Like I described a snake. You won't know a snake is there until it's about to bite. And it may be too late. Praise the Lord. The Bible says it springs up and it causes trouble. Amen. Bitterness does not just cause trouble. It doesn't stop there. It destroys potentials. Bitterness destroys potentials. Bitterness can drive away your helper of destiny. I pray that won't happen to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It can kill new life, new ideas. What really came to mind was one of the parables, one of the major parables of Jesus Christ, the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read all of it. But he said the word fell. He says some of it fell among thorns. Fell among thorns. Thorns is a representation of resentment, a representation of bitterness. And what happened to it? He said in verse 7, and some fell among thorns. What I'm saying, if you can show us Matthew 13, verse 7 quickly. You know, I don't have too much time. Amen. He says, and the thorns did what? Sprang up. Bitterness springs up. And it chokes the word. It chokes life. It chokes beauty. It chokes potential. There's nothing wrong with the word. There's nothing wrong with what God is putting in your heart. But there's something wrong with the heart. Especially a heart that has resentment. The word is meant to grow like the seed is meant to grow in the soil. But then bitterness springs up like the thorns and chokes up. The root of bitterness, if not uprooted, quickly, it graduates into other negative emotions. I've talked about this before. Just like the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 31. I read from the Amplified. It says, let all bitterness and wrath. Those are the things that follows bitterness. Wrath, anger, clamor. God will have my way. Perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault finding, and slander be put away. These are the things that truncates life, truncates destiny, truncates growth. Be put away from you along with many kind, every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. You can't have all this growing in you and you are growing spiritually at the same time. It's impossible. Bitterness can be growing in you. Wrath, anger, resentment, strife, malice, verbal abuse. They can be growing inside you and you are still saying, oh, I'm growing. I'm becoming a matured Christian. No, you can't sow in your heart diverse seed. Because of time, let me quickly go to my main points. How do you identify bitterness within yourself? Are you ready? How do you identify that you are bitter? Somebody offends you and you keep going over the tape over and over. You rehearse what they said, how they spoke, how they hit you with this, how they did that. And today you rehearse it. You wake up, it's in your mind. You go to bed, it's in your heart. You wake up with it again. You are just going over and over, over and over. The wrong that was done you, or the wrong you believe that was wrong that was done you. You keep going over it. Guess what? You are allowing bitterness to dig deeper, to fester like a bamboo is going deeper, deeper with tentacles into the soil of your heart. And then guess what? It now graduates to justification. I shouldn't be treated like that. I know I'm correct. It shouldn't have done that to me. She shouldn't have said that to me. What did I do to warrant that? I didn't do anything wrong. That shouldn't be done to me. You start finding justifications of your own actions, thinking you are the one who is right. Every time I'm the one who is right, I'm the victim here. And then, when you start realizing, you start crying, especially if you are telling somebody else. You start crying. And you see, that crying emotion sometimes is a lie from the pits of hell. I'm not saying that people don't wrong us. I'm just saying, if we allow it to fester, the hurt, it graduates to bitterness. It destroys your life. Amen? If you are not careful, you start having high blood pressure. High blood pressure. Hypertension. You become hypertensive. Hormonal imbalance. Degenerating immune system. Such people can develop cancer. I know a few people who died of cancer simply because of bitterness. Nothing good comes out of their mouth. They always have something against everybody. Some can develop heart disease. You keep on going to the doctors and they say, no, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm not saying that's always the case. But then what the doctors cannot see is your emotion. They can't see the emotions that is growing in you. Look at what the Apostle Peter said. Apostle Peter said to Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 verse 23. He said, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." You are poisoned by bitterness. The gall of bitterness is a poison. Even though Peter is not a medical student, was an ordinary fisherman, but he could relate bitterness to poison. Poison of life, poison of destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at bitterness. Stop the womb of Michal, the wife of David. She was bitter against him. David dancing, glorifying God. His undergarment showed while he was dancing and glorifying God without a care in this world. And she resented him. And God closed her womb. Let me take you on a biology lesson a little bit. Everybody has a gallbladder. Gall produces bile that is excreted through the liver. You know, liver has holes and stuff like that. You know, when you have bitterness, that gall over-secretes in your body. It's supposed to be an enzyme for digestion. It's like an acid. An acid, a pouch acid that every human being carries on the inside. That is meant to digest food. But when the emotion of bitterness overflows the heart, that thing overproduces in the body. And it begins to degenerate the body. Begins to kill the cells of the body. Those who are close to me, who know me, I don't know how to hide my displeasure. Simply because I don't like to harbor bitterness. I don't want it. I have to spew it out immediately. And when I do, that's the end of the matter. Amen. I can't carry it to bed. It's going to be like something is wrong. And truly, something is wrong. You know? So, the functionality of that acid in our body and the cells of our body, if it's more than necessary, because of the emotions we begin to produce
we begin to destroy self. I'm not a doctor, but you can ask all the doctors in the house later. Amen. Also, there's a connection between our mouth and our heart. Between the heart and the mouth, there's a connection. The Bible says in Matthew 12, verse 34b, the last part of it, the last part of verse 34. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't interact with some people without them cussing. They'll just be throwing the F-bomb, throwing the other bomb, throwing this, that, that. It shows the content of the heart. Cursing. Did I pronounce it well? Cursing. Without the R. C-U-S-S-I-N-G. It's a sign of bitterness. Don't let's paint it with another crayon. It's a sign of bitterness. A critical spirit is a sign of bitterness. And we have bitter leaders in our country. Bitter wives, bitter husbands, bitter children who have lost respect for their parents. You see, life is two-sided coin. The Bible says, parents, provoke not your children to anger. But a child who becomes angry against their parents and start verbalizing wrong things and begin to do wrong things against their parent, that child is killing their future bit by bit, no matter whether it's the fault of the parent or not. The truth of the matter is, you cannot correct your tongue until you correct your heart. If your heart is not checked, you can't check your language. One of the first miracles of my life was my tongue. When God touched my heart, He touched my tongue. Romans 3, verse 13 to 14. The Bible says, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I hope you are checking it. You see, there's no justification for bitterness. Did I an amen? Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I don't care what they did. Maybe I care about what they did to you, but you don't need to be bitter for your own sake. Because when you are bitter, you are taking responsibility for your vindication. You are taking God out of the equation. You need God in your equation. Amen. Did you hear me? Oh, you don't know what my husband did. You don't know what my wife did. You don't know what they did to me. You are bitter against the place you work, against the company you are working at. Some people have been so bitter, they went there and start shooting people. Bitterness is a destroyer. Bitterness is a poison. Are you operating with bitterness in your heart? Are you hanging around bitter people? Are you raising up your children with bitterness? Because their father is no longer there, you poison their heart against their father. Oh, you man that is a single parent, you poison the heart of your children against their mother. It's wrong. It's wrong. Any parent that does that is destroying the life and the future of their children. If their father is not a good person, let them find out themselves. You know, you watch some movies and the woman will say to her children, oh, your father died in a car accident and the man is living in Arizona. And then the children will find out. But you said, you know, because of bitterness, it's killing the plan of God for your life. The plan of God must be more important than the enjoyment of how you think you are vindicated and you are hurting that person back by the way you feel. Remember, bitterness is poison. That bile, that gallbladder, even if you slain an animal before, you will find that small thing. People are careful not to let it burst. Because the moment it bursts and it splashes over the meat, that's the end of the meat. You can't eat it again. So they have to cut it out. And carefully, they have to cut it out with the meat. The Bible says, I love this scripture. Deuteronomy 29, verse 12 to 19. You see, bitterness will not allow the promises of God to come to pass in your life. And people can be pitying you and praying for you, but what they don't know is that you are bitter. And there's no medical doctor that can diagnose bitterness. Only the word of God. Only you standing with God. Deuteronomy 29, verse 12 to 19. I just cut it short for us to have an understanding there anyway. I hope so. It says that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be to you, he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you. And just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I make this covenant and oath, and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abomination. Bitterness comes into the category of abomination. Watch this. And their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you, what? A root doing what? Bearing bitterness or wormwood. You know, wormwood is like termite. It will eat it, and when you look at it, it looks okay. But touch it a little bit with force, everything crumbles. He says, so that it may not happen when he hears the word of this curse. You need to go home and read this scripture yourself and ask God for better understanding.
that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. You know, like we say in America today, that's fake news. You can't carry bitterness and say, yes, I shall have peace. No, you are not going to have peace. There's no peace for a bitter heart. Hallelujah. He says, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. How many sober people are here? And the drunkard, they'll fish you out. The Spirit of God will fish you out. Hallelujah. Everything God has laid out for you can be stolen because of bitterness. The thing is, the root of bitterness cannot be trimmed. You can't trim it. You can't trim bitterness like you are cutting weed and you cut weed. You can't cut weed. Come back tomorrow, it spring up again. Amen. It has to be uprooted. If you are going to kill the effect of bitterness, you need to uproot it. Let me quickly give you, in 3 minutes, how to uproot bitterness from your heart. Number one, quickly. Remember, you have to be intentional. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit to search you out. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. That's why I asked you that if I ask us individual, do you have bitterness? You will say no. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The answer came immediately. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Open yourself up to the Almighty God. Be sincere about it. It may not be a one-time prayer. It may not be a one-week prayer. It may be up to a month's prayer, depending on the intensity of your prayer and the openness of your heart. Number two, ask God for mercy. Ask God for forgiveness. David said, my sins are ever before me. Because one of the things the Holy Spirit does is that he shows you. Show me. Reveal me to me, Lord. And be sincere about it. That's not a prayer you pray in a passive way. Some of us need to take some back steps and begin to correct certain relationships that we left behind. Because we are the ones who are the wronged. Rather, we are feeling wronged. When the Holy Spirit reveals you to you, you now find out that, oh, I have done wrong. And then from there, you start asking God for mercy. Asking him for forgiveness. Point number three. From then on, let no one or anything contaminate your heart. It's a work. It's work. Hallelujah. You sift what you hear. You sift what you store in your heart. Going back to where we started, Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. It's a scary scripture. Scary scripture. Having come to church week in and week out, and that day comes, and God is saying, I don't know you. Oh, that will not be our story. I said that will not be our portion. Nobody is what God's plan for your life. No hurt, no pain is what God's plan for your life.